So people with headsets have got me. I can see games are nodding. The television audience is good. All right. So hi, everybody.
I'm sorry, this is Tony on Zoom. It's actually rather faint. Could you do something about that?
Right, I got this thing about as close to my mouth as I think.
Was good when you were bending toward it. It's less good now.
Okay, how about if I talk like this?
I do. Thank
Let
you.
me, yeah, sorry. All right, I'll try to talk a little louder than I feel like.
Okay, thank
All
you.
right. So, I've been around Zen for a long time now, years, indeed, decades. And so, my relationship with practice has sure changed a great deal over that time, so much so that what it is today would have been inconceivable to me, even probably 5 years ago. So I've played this game over the years where I ask myself to describe Zen practice in one word, sometimes one sentence, but usually one word, as though someone else is asking me, putting myself kind of on the spot. And so, as you can imagine, over time, there's a lot of different words. But the word that rises now and has the most relevance, that seems the most germane, is learning. And of course, we learn in lots of ways, right? We amass knowledge and we build skills. But the kind of learning I'm talking about is more like recognition or remembering. Learning really is one of the great joys of life. So now a little story. At the last Rohatz retreat, I was here, I was in one of these seats in the middle row where I normally sit. And it was in the middle of the week, and I think it was the first Kinhin period after evening service. We got up and we walked west, and then got to the back and turned, and I could see out the window, the very familiar scene of the treetops along Siskiyou and beyond the bamboo by the pond, the sky kind of losing its light with wintertime. And so I took a step north, another one, and suddenly I heard the words, "I will help you." It was like I heard, It was like really a riveting experience. It stopped me in my tracks. It was as though it had like come up from the ground. It wasn't potent. I mean, it was not flashy, but it was quite potent. It was articulated, enunciated, and said with great authority. So I returned to my cushion up here and I sat for a while. I felt really energized and tranquil, that combination of calm and alert and energetic. So the effects of this stayed with me after the sesshin, after retreat, for a long time. And it was like a big bell had been struck and was reverberating. And I felt really connected. And the words I had written on paper back then were I felt cared for, which is a really unusual selection of words to, we apply it to individual people, but not so much to just generally a sense of benefaction. And it lasted, and so after about 7 or 8 weeks, I finally brought it to my teacher's attention, and we talked about it briefly. So that's what happened. I will help you. Right? So these words, I think, are not important at all. And what they reflect is the result of concentration in that sesshin environment. The mind quieting down, and an unusual occurrence happening. Sometimes other things happen, right? Well, maybe it could have been other words, or there'll be a visual experience that is way out of the ordinary. This can happen in sesshin. But what was important was what came along with it, what was ushered in with it, and the sense of openness and pliability, receptivity. I would go as far as to say receptivity to wisdom. So our translation of Fukan Zazengi says, "For you must know that the true Dharma appears of itself." And I've said that so many times, as many other people in here have. And most times when I read any, when I recite any liturgy, it it's more or less just words. Every now and then it'll really make an impact. So if we think about this, if we reflect on it, that there's quite significant implications of that statement. So quick detour. We have new people in here. We talk about Dogen a lot as though he's the man who needs no introduction. And that's true for a lot of us, but not for everybody. So super high level abridged. 800 years ago, a monk in Japan, unsatisfied with the teachings that were available to him, traveled to China and brought back with him to Japan what is now known as the Soto Zen lineage, of which we are part. And so he was a prolific writer and also a speaker. A lot of his talks are recorded, and there's a huge surviving body of work. The most famous of those is Shobogenzo, the Treasury of the True Dharma Eye. I have this here with me. This is a translation by Nishijima, excuse me, and Cross. Unless you think this is Shobogenzo, this is one of four books. So you get the idea. There's a lot of fascicles in this thing. So Dogen stresses the importance of agency, volition, personal investment, and day-to-day tasks, like all things are to Dogen, expressing the truth. They're an expression of truth. And as you know, when we're in a sesshin environment or even at home, if we really concentrate on what we're doing, we get a sense of that. He also emphasized something much bigger. His Buddha Dharma is expansive and inclusive. I mean, reality contains all of reality. So on the one hand, the small, on the other.
Sorry, we've just lost all sound. At least I have.
Feel like I'm in a nightclub. I struggled with Dogen for a long time. It's because I was treating him, this is weird, treating him as an author, and expecting a stream of content, whether it be methodology or philosophy or whatever. And I found the writing often to be stultifying and even kind of annoying in my earlier exposure to it. It's the truth. But as I changed my view of it, I started to view Dogen as a conduit instead, someone conveying his experience of reality to other people 800 years ago and still down through the ages. I found that, if I let the writing approach me on its own terms, that it starts to have meaning. And insights can happen. Now, sometimes when I read Shobogenzo, a fascicle, I'll read part of a paragraph, maybe another paragraph, and a sentence comes up and really gets my attention. I'll maybe put a little dot there or underline it. And then I'll push the book away and go outside, and I might not look at it again for a couple days. We talk about whole body reading. Okay, do the switch. Will I get feedback? I was hoping for that. It would be like Jimi Hendrix. All right, so I'm sorry. So anyway, there's a small group of us actually working on Shobogenzo. I don't think Suho is here today, but he spearheaded and is shepherding a Dogen's Shobogenzo study group. And each week during Ango, we read a fascicle, and then we get together and discuss it, and we take turns leading the discussion. And we've been at it for 2 years and we're halfway through. And so we got at least another 2 years to go. But it's changed. I had already changed my orientation toward Dogen, but this has helped a great deal. This intimacy, regular exposure over and over again. And you start to pick out common messages and consistency among fascicles. So one of the fascicles, I'm going to refer to three of them that are actually in this book too. The first one is Inmo, and it's pretty famous, and it translates ordinarily as thusness or suchness. But these guys, Nishijima and Cross, they translate it as it. The name of the fascicle is it. And it, you know, is a word that we use a lot in our liturgy. It pops up again and again. In the Precious Mirror Samadhi, there are perhaps 20 references to it in this sense, and maybe a couple references to it in another context. So I want to read to you a quote that really, really was meaningful to me when I first read it, and still is. It's short. It says, "The body and mind of those who have wisdom is already not their own. The body and mind of those who have wisdom is already not their own." So already not my own is not an idea, but it's a way of being. You know, in a moment of not my own, I can find meaning. You know, that is my heart's desire, and I'm thinking many other people as well, that moment that is not a stepping stone to something else, right? It's not a means to an end. It's valid and complete in and of itself. And from that comes a great deal of gratitude and appreciation for being alive. The term heart's desire really stands out to me in this context, the meaningful experience of life. You know, and in those moments, there's a cessation of that tendency that I have, and maybe a few other people do too, to look to the horizon, you know, to run, to chase, to expect, and maybe you think enlightenment is even out there and that you're going to get that. And once you do, it'll be a game changer. So here's another quote from the same fascicle, Inmo. "Those who have wisdom, if they hear the Dharma, are able to believe and understand it at once." So this is back to that when I mentioned recognition at the beginning as compared or contrasted with accumulation of knowledge. Those who have wisdom, if they hear the Dharma, are able to believe it and understand it at once. So I think that's our common sense operating. And it doesn't have to be Buddhism. You can see this in other religious texts too. Sometimes you read them and you know immediately that you're reading the truth. Being touched deeply and aligning with the flow through quality of life, right? That's a potent and natural experience. There's another fascicle in here. It's called Dotoku, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. You know, the U at the end of a word is often not so pronounced, but we tend to do that here, so I'll call it Dotoku, expressing the truth. And this quotation is another fascicle, same book, but it's very consistent with these other ones. And Dogen says, "Effort now continues to be directed by the expression of the truth itself and by insight itself." Effort now continues to be directed by the expression of the truth itself and insight itself. So if I can accept being directed in this way without interference, the effects of that can be surprisingly wholesome. And wholesomeness, you know, a lot of times I have found myself, and I know others do too, like moths to the flame, heading toward behaviors that we know are not wholesome. And we always pay some kind of a price. But if in a wholesome state, feelings of alienation or longing tend to drop away or at least settle down to a simmer. And then we're back again to an experience of meaning, something that is satisfying in and of itself without the need to get on to the next thing. You know, there's a whole lot that I don't know and a lot that I can't know. But I know when experience feels whole, as I said before, when feelings of longing and alienation subside, And I really trust that. I can't explain, and I can't lock it down and nail it down in words, but I know it when I feel it, and I know it when I see it. And in my experience, that's one of the primary fruits of practice. That, along with little by little behaving in a way that is better, not just for me, but for everybody else. So after my Rohat's experience, and I wrote some notes to myself. One of them, of course, I mentioned earlier, that I felt cared for. And this, going on for weeks, feeling this benefaction. But I wrote down, we have access to something we can't explain. And then something we can't explain has access to us. And that is a statement that still really moves me. It's not, I guess there's a superficial dualism there, but it's not really true, right? That's one statement, just in two pieces. Not knowing, not explaining, but it's instead paying attention and waiting. And I found that that's one of the most comfortable places I can be, is not knowing and patiently waiting and watching. It's a very satisfying way to live, limiting expectations and, above all, limiting demands, less demanding, insisting on less. It's really interesting in real time here, as opposed to my house when I tried this out. This went a little bit faster. So I'm getting very close to the end. So what I want to do is I want to read to you a longer quote from a third fasca. We've heard Enmo, it, and we've heard Dotoku, if I pronounce that right, expressing the truth. And this is Zen Ki. It's the last fascicle in here. And in this book too, and this is a little bit longer quote. And so there's a colophon at the end of these things. Some of these are written and some of these are talks. And this one says, preach to the assembly at the office of the governor of Unshu. So this is obviously a talk. Then it goes on to tell you that it was the 17th day of the 12th lunar month in the 3rd year of Minji. Fortunately, there's a footnote that tells us that that's 1242. So, life can be likened to a time when a person is sailing in a boat. On this boat, I am operating the sail. I have taken the rudder. I am pushing the pole. At the same time, the boat is carrying me, and there is no I beyond the boat. Through my sailing of the boat, this boat is being caused to be a boat. Let us consider and learn and practice just this moment of the present. At this very moment, there is nothing other than the world of the boat. The sky, the water, the shore have all become the moment of the boat, which is utterly different from moments not on the boat. So, life is what I am making it, and I am what life is making me. Notice the words in here. Let us consider and learn and practice. This is a very common Dogen-esque formation, right? Let us clarify, let us consider, let us learn in practice. Learning in practice is different from feverishly reading this stuff and nailing down all the concepts. Okay, let us learn in practice. That's it.
We will now have a period for questions and comments. If you're in the room and you have a question or comment, please raise your hand. I'll bring the microphone to you. Please say your name before you speak. If you're on Zoom, you may type your question or comment into the chat box and Tony will read it aloud for you. Or if you'd like to be unmuted, please type your name into the chat box.
This is Ginkgo. Thank you. That was lovely. I especially appreciated the how did you put that? It was kind of like, I think a lot of loving kindness is being something I'm producing. And so this is saying something is also this thing that we don't know and don't understand is also giving us this. And I somehow hadn't really made that connection before. So it's really nice to have that sense of, it's not all coming from me. Hello, what a surprise. but there it is. And it's not that this was new information, but I hadn't made the connection there before. And it's really wonderful to have that sense that, in fact, we're all being cared for all the time. And the Dharma does appear of itself. We don't have to like do something to nail it down. We do have to do some things, but mostly what we have to do is open to it. There it is.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate your talk. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it doesn't all come from me. Thank goodness. No, I know what you mean. It's like in the further back you step, the more benevolence is apparent, right? The bigger the picture. You know, a very specific event can look very cruel sometimes, but you get big enough space and big enough time, and then perspective is there.
Hi, this is Charlie. I'm really curious if the Dharma appears of itself. Is there use in going to Sanzen, reading from the ancestors, and listening to Dharma talks?
I would say definitely not. You might as well just go. Yeah, it's just something we do for show. No, seriously, though, that's the age-old question, right? I mean, Dogen himself asked that question, if I'm already enlightened, why do I need to practice, right? We have lots of habits. And my personal experiences, my habits left me very cloudy with a sort of, you know, if life is like a conduit, a flow through pipe, you know, I always had my hands on the walls and the feet and I was holding on tight and blocking that thing. All the debris was gathering, you know. So reading Dharma study as well as practice, they're all there to loosen and unravel and make space to actually, right, to be present for the Dharma so it can appear of itself.
So you would say, like, reading from the ancestors and, you know, listening to other people speak is sort of for trust, for safety?
Yeah, I think trust is a good one. I don't, maybe safety, but trust is, those are almost two ways of saying the same thing. The more you trust, the safer you feel.
Like you had the potential to let go of the pipe and go down.
Yeah, right. And it's not so scary after all. One other thing, you know, Dharma study. We've studied a couple of years in a row at the Three Robes Retreat. It's Zazen Nyojin Ki, I think, right? Yeah, and so that's from Keizan. And The message is that Dharma study is valuable, but don't overdo it, right? Be there, be present. And terms like the mind ground are used in there. What we seek, sort of seek, what we wait for, maybe, right? But it's not an academic pursuit. And so like blazing through Shobo Genzo in 2 months and checking the box, probably not the best Dharma. In moderation, and with the help of people like your teacher. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Tony. Thank you, wonderful talk. Lots of things to say, but let me just say one. What jumped out at me from your last quote, your final quote from Zen Ki, is through my sailing, this boat is caused to be a boat. That really jumped out at me. Yet saying, I'd love to hear what your take on that is. Yep. This is what puzzles me, is where I fit into all this, yeah. Right?
You know, I was kind of, you know, when I read this and before coming here, I thought, you know, maybe somebody's going to ask me a real specific question about a particular line, and I'm going to be like, oh goodness, And that's kind of how I am. I kind of take this as a unit, you know, and I think, again, what I emphasized after reading that quote was learn in practice, right? And so I'm not really, I'm hesitant and probably incapable of giving a really concise set of words that would tell you exactly what that means, right?
Yeah,
no. Just an oblique reading of it. This has been very helpful to me, right? There's a term in Zen I think most people know called whole body reading. And to try it and less pick it apart and explain each sentence to myself, but just take it on its own terms and let it sink in. And I have found much, much more value from that.
Yeah, no, my question is not, it's not Dharma study. That's not my question, right? I'm not treating it as a text. I'm doing that already. And it seems to, it's always just caught me up because it seems to be saying in the opposite direction. It's saying that I, the me thing, has tremendous agency in this. And that's something in this whole process. And that's something I tend to forget in the business of opening up and letting it inform me. This is saying very clearly that I also make the boat, the whole vehicle, right?
Right.
Anyway, I'm just bringing it up. I just want, I actually already said something careful, useful, which is you interpret it as learn and practice, which I will take away. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Daigai.
Hello.
Zonyo here. I've really enjoyed being in the Dogen studies with you. It's been a year or two that we've overlapped. I'm not sure. But something you said in the series this last term really stood out to me. And I was kind of struggling. I had a lot going on. And it was a hard term for me to like show up and talk about Dogen. And I showed up and I had kind of struggled through the fascicle. And I was like ready with my talking points. And I sort of delivered them and didn't land. I could just feel it in myself and in the room. And then you gave this, you just sort of rejected all that. And you said, you didn't try to, exactly like what you're just saying now, you didn't really try to explain it. You made this gesture about holding up the, and you said, reading Dogen is kind of like turning it this way and that way and flipping it all around until you receive it. Do you remember that?
I do remember.
Yeah, I wondered.
Hit myself in the forehead with it for extra effect.
I thought, he's got it. And so I thought for the room, it might be useful just to like say a little more about your experience of reading Dogen and what that,
right,
that's like.
Yeah,
for you.
I'm leery about the words, I've got it. But gentleness, I would say, is a word that really comes to the forefront. And I, during the talk, I think I used the word demanding, right? So if I'm making demands of the text, I don't have much chance, right? And I really firmly, from my personal experience, reading it in fits and starts, bits and pieces, maybe reading the same paragraph four times, even before finishing the fascicle, you know, stopping midway, stopping whenever something really hits me, and I'll make a note of it sometimes. And often when that happens, I walk away, and if I can, I go outside. And then I try to find some empty space to let it permeate.
Can you make that motion again for the room?
Which
book?
One? The book? Yeah, like this, and then finally. It only took 15 years.
Hi, can you hear me? Okay, this is Amy. I really appreciate your talk. I, several years ago, read Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, and I got it from the library, and I hated it because I didn't understand any of it. It made no sense to me. And then through like pure chance, my dog ate the book, like chewed it up. And because it was a library book, I got to keep it. So they let me just keep the book and felt bad for me. So it was still like the pages were intact. The cover was damaged. So anyway, I ended up keeping it and I read it, and I've read it several times since. And something about what you said about like you read it and it makes no sense, and then like over time with practice, now it like certain parts are still very inaccessible and certain parts of it make perfect sense and like seem to just like immediately land, like, right? So there's lots of other like Zen things that are like this, like just make absolutely no sense to me and feel so too smart or something for me. But like, I think the reminder of that, it's not like you're going to get it through reading it and like having that experience make sense, but that the Dharma talks are like, they're still around for a reason because they will still land for a reason, but it's not through reading it or and getting it in like an academic sense.
Yeah.
It's just a really good reminder.
Right. So I'm looking at you, but I can see Colleen, you know, out of the corner of my eyes, nodding and nodding and nodding. Because that's all of our experience, right? You know, when I first got Zen mind, beginner's mind, a long time ago, you know, in the 90s. And I took it with me on a trip to Hawaii to go scuba diving. And I had read a bunch of like flashy, sensational Zen books, you know, promising the moon. And then I got this thing. I was like, holy moly, this is dry. You know, and I read about 14 pages and I was right into the pouch on the back seat of the, you know, person in front of me. And I didn't look at it again for quite a while. Now it's a book that means a great deal to me. I was thinking about it on the way down here, actually, that book in my car. And there's a quote in there that is, strictly speaking, there's no such thing as an enlightened person, only enlightened activity. Mm-hmm. The first time I read that, I was like, ah, perfect. Thank goodness.
Hello, this is Dio. You're a Dai guy. I'm Dio. I almost messed that up. I just wanted to, like, just a short anecdote comment. I was with my partner, and on one of my, like, I go on these like excited rants sometimes about different Dharma stuff, or this time specifically I was talking about a Dogen Fascal. And she was like, who is Dogen? And I was like, oh, you don't know who Dogen is. Dogen was a monk in, you know, 800 years ago, 1200. And she was like, whoa, Dogen was from a long time ago. You guys talk about Dogen like he's alive. And I just was like, yeah, it's like, that's the whole thing. I just thought that was cute and relevant.
Yeah. Yeah. Like grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you can go and ask him a question.
Right. But it is, you know, everyone talks and then they'll be like, and Dogen now, or the obligatory Dogen sometimes. And, you know, I imagine somebody who's new in here is like, who that is? Yeah. Towering figure and so on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your talk. It was really nice.
Thanks for your talk. My name's Caleb. I really appreciated it. One of you mentioned how Dogen has his like little isms that will like come up a lot, often about like study or learning something. But like the one phrase that I've at times latched onto and enjoyed that he uses is like investigating thoroughly. You should investigate this thoroughly. And I'm realizing, like, as you were talking, that the way I'd grabbed onto that is from the more academic standpoint, as if by poring over each line in minute detail, right, the truth behind it would pop into place. Whereas there are other texts that I've read in a more methodical, like digestive way, like the way you're talking about, like reading it and letting it sit. Like the way I often think about it is like digestion, right? Or like drinking a tea and just like savoring the flavor, go out on a walk and then maybe something clicks later. And I'm realizing like, I think that's what investigating thoroughly is, rather than, I don't know why until now I've primarily approached Dogen in that very like academic way, thinking he's like the same way in grad school for philosophy, you have to read like Hegel. I've thought of Dogen as like Zen Hegel, right? Yeah. When in truth, I guess he's Zen Grandpa instead.
Yeah, yeah, as Grandma and Grandpa, two ancestors. But yeah, I know it's like a rigid academic approach, something as lengthy as Shobo Genzo or Eihei Kuroku. Good luck, you know, it won't be fun. Yeah. I mean, some people enjoy that, but it wouldn't be me.
This is Jacqueline. Thank you for your talk. And a lot of it, you know, kind of flowed through, and I'm finding myself in a lot of pain today. I had a tooth extraction, so there's that pain. But I also noticed in your talk, you mentioned just a gratitude for being alive. It's one of the things that you said. And I'm just really feeling that right now, despite like, there's pain and like, I'm like really so much gratitude for being alive right now and being here with everyone else who's alive right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to add anything to that.
Thank you.